found this in Ganymede.
What is it?
You doing bread?
It's a performance.
Oh, you got a grilled cheese.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Tanya Zare and special guest, Victoria Schmidt, a.k.a. Scarfy Rebel, if you follow her online.
Who does that?
I think you've got a lot of followers. We bring Victoria on because she was, you know, lucky enough, awesome enough, cool enough to get to go to that Star Trek fan event that happened last Friday where the Star Trek trailer was unveiled. So, like, what all went down? I saw the video clip of, you know, J.J. Abrams talking about how Axanar is getting forgiven because Justin Lin talked with the Paramount about it.
So, like, everyone who was there, or most everyone who was there, had gotten their tickets through just giveaway entries and stuff like that. Some people had to, like, you know, chose to submit videos if that was what the giveaway kind of thing required. I lucked out that someone who was going couldn't go and was giving up for tickets, so I snapped them up that way. It was like pure luck I was there.
Oh, but, that's awesome.
Once we were all there on the Paramount lot, I'm terrible because I forget the stage numbers, but they started off the event in one of the sound stages, and it was where they had shot the original series.
I think it's 35, say. 35?
It was definitely in the 30s, so that was awesome. And you know, it's all, obviously, you can see from the photos, obviously, it's decorated all really cool and sleek, and they had, you know, the view screens up and stuff like that. And it's probably only like 500 people in there. It did not seem like a whole lot in general. And, you know, awesome surprise was that Adam Savage was hosting, talking with everyone who was there. So you've got Adam Savage there. And then he, you know, introduces J.J. Abrams coming out, which, you know, I knew Justin Lin would be there because that's what the kind of blogs had reported, that he would be there answering Q&As, but, like, did not obviously guess that J.J. Abrams would be there. So Abrams was there, and then Justin came out, and they, you know, chatted Q&As for a little bit. And then after them, they had, you know, Urban and Pine and Quinto come out, which, I mean, the ladies is probably what we were waiting for, which was super fantastic because, like I was hoping that they, one, let alone three of them, would be there. You know, like I knew some cast members would be there, but you never know with everyone's schedules who actually is going to be able to show up for it.
Oh, sure.
So that was super, super fantastic. And then once they'd run through a couple, you know, Q&As from both Twitter and the audience there, we actually all shuffled out of that soundstage just to that little Paramount Street that, you know, is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did this big group photo, like with bleachers and the whole big to-do, because Paramount was renaming that street to be Leonard Nimoy Boulevard.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah, so, like, we all got to do this big group photo to be, like, part of the moment, and they unveiled the little street sign that was already on, you know, the soundstage wall and stuff. That was super fantastic. And then from there, once that was over, we got shuffled into the soundstage just adjacent to where we'd been. So I guess 36 or whatever. And that's where they showed the trailer, which I tend to, like, avoid trailers. So I don't want to get too hyped up or, like, start kind of overanalyzing stuff too early before I'm going to see a film. So I've been relatively avoiding anything Star Trek related, except for, like, the very, very first, like, little teaser trailer that showed up, you know, when everyone went to go see Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was in for, it was just a pleasant kind of awesome adventure to watch this trailer. And then.
All right. So, yeah. So you're basically the first person to get to see, you know, one of the first people to see the trailer.
Yeah. Which is super crazy.
Yeah. Could you say that again? Because you sounded like Nintendo noises.
It was great.
Oh, awesome. yeah, so in addition to seeing the trailer, which I believe, was it being released like the same time we were seeing it?
No. What time did you see it, California time?
Let's see. Probably around 9-ish, 9 p.m.-ish.
Okay, because so it was 2 hours before they even showed it, because I knew it started around 7, I think, your time, or 7 or 8, and then
yeah,
it was
like
after...
By the time the event finally started, it was like 7:30, and then if you kind of maybe account for an hour of like the Q&A stuff and that photo thing, it must have been like about 9 by the time we saw it.
Okay, so that's right then, because I didn't see it till about... It didn't come online till after midnight for me in the East Coast.
Okay.
But I was up, and I was like, refreshing, it's got to be up soon. They started this thing 2 hours ago. Why isn't it up yet?
Yeah, you're like, I want to see it.
Must have.
So in addition to that, they gave us like more footage to watch.
Was it like the first 10 minutes?
Sweet. It might have been. I mean, definitely there was like, you know, an opening scene with Kirk going to the Enterprise and doing some voiceover, which was awesome. Playing with Bones and Jim over some alcohol. The big birthday scene that I think everyone keeps talking about. And then all of like the shit going down on the Enterprise, like when they're in trouble.
Yeah, because
like, more or less all of that.
Okay, so the Enterprise does blow up in the first 10 minutes. That's sad, because I mean they did show the first 10 minutes of Star Trek Into Darkness, back on like one of the Hobbit movies. Like I was like more excited about seeing the first 10 minutes of Into Darkness than I was about seeing that Hobbit movie.
Right.
But that's one of the things. Like I love the trailer. Like it definitely feels more Star Trek-y. They're getting into the themes of, you know, age and, you know, and things like that that Star Trek is known for, especially with Kirk growing up and trying to live up to his dad. I think that's interesting. But
yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there.
I'm just so sad. Like it looks like in the trailer they're destroying the Enterprise. Like, the Enterprise in the JJ movies, we finally have a big budget movie or movies of Star Trek, but the Enterprise barely has done anything. It didn't fight the Narada. It shot the torpedoes down. It didn't shoot at all at the Vengeance and Into Darkness, and now it looks like it's getting blown up at the beginning of the movie.
They all are. She's its own character, and it's just upsetting to see it be taken out so fast in the film. That the whole point of the film is they don't have the Enterprise.
Well, yeah. I'm really, really upset by that, because I mean, like, the Enterprise, it's like the ship, and like we've never seen this ship like stand up on its own. It's always getting messed up.
It got ruined by the
black hole.
Yeah,
it didn't
black
even,
hole, and then
it didn't even shoot back at the Vengeance.
No, because it was getting ruined by the Vengeance.
And then now it's getting ruined by something else. I want to see the Enterprise like hold its own in battle. Like now that we've got a big budget Star Trek movie, why can't we see the Enterprise hold its own? Why does everyone have like this wet dream of destroying the Enterprise?
Yeah, because it doesn't even have a chance. It's not even like, oh, put up a good fight. It's like, no, it got caught with its pants down. And yeah, it's sad. It's sad, but it is what it is. And it's part of the sadness of the movie.
Yeah. Well, it's Star Trek 3. I guess they had to destroy the Enterprise this time. You know, because it got destroyed. But that was Kirk's decision. It's not,
exactly.
not Kirk's
this
decision this
not...
time. Definitely not his decision.
Yeah, he's powerless.
Because, I mean, that's one of the things, you know, Star Trek isn't about space battles, but Star Trek is about, like, thinking smart, and Kirk is always, like, this great tactician, and we've not gotten to see that tactician yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be the tactician on the Franklin, but who knows.
See how it goes.
So anything else interesting that happened at the event?
No, I mean, so it was the trailer and the footage, and, you know, then it became just a party after that, and...
open bar?
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty damn nice. Definitely no expense spared. You know, they had people going around with, you know, little glasses of red and white wine. And I know they had some beers available that were free of charge, and they had some amazing like food, you know, little appetizers going around like nonstop throughout the night, like just really nice high-end food. I definitely found pampered and special there.
That's
and
awesome.
Then, and then I had, you know, maybe like a half dozen of the costumes there on display. You take pictures of, obviously, the captain's chair. They were doing.
I think I shared your picture to our group of you in the captain's chair.
That you could. I had the Delta with the 50th logo that they're running on really fast right now.
Yeah.
That, and they also had the Vulcan symbol with the 50th little mark on it as well. Nice. And then they had the little transporter room kind of photo setup that you could do. So just fun times all around.
And is that where you recorded the video of like your guilty pleasure?
Yeah, they had that in a little van just right outside where everyone was invited to go and, you know, take a moment to do that.
Trench coat van.
So that was
everyone was invited into a van.
Exactly.
With candy. We've got candy in here.
Yeah.
And a video camera.
One at a time, go to a little van and just hop on in there.
We promise we won't drive off too far, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like
now,
an awesome
picture
time.
The picture you were talking about, I saw you're like just a few feet
and then,
away.
And yeah, that was pretty much summed up the night. After. Super, super fun.
What was that, Tanya?
The group photo, Victoria, you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah.
In the background, hiding. Like, not hiding. You're in plain sight.
I'm trying to shove myself into every little available airspace. And, you know, we're in line waiting for that. And I'm thinking, like, oh, no, like, the bleachers are filling up by the time we get there. And, like, we're going to be, like, all the way in the back or something. And then, you know, the friends I was with, you know, suddenly were getting shuffled in front of everyone in the bleachers. And I was like, oh, wait, no, this is, like, so much better. And then, you know, by the time everyone had finished shuffling around, I was like, oh, I'm basically, like, almost in the front and can easily see everyone. Like, nice. Decker Quinto gave, like, a little, you know, speech about Leonard Nimoy before they dropped the little black cloth covering the sign and stuff, and I'm just like there taking photos nonstop and everything. So yeah, that was it. Was just, you know, it was definitely like a getting the tickets to go there was luck, and just getting like fun placement in that and a group photo was luck. I was riding high on some good luck.
Yeah, we're lucky that you got to come and spend some time with us talking to us about it, because we didn't get to go. None of us from Synthaholics got to go. And I was like, Victoria, we've had you on the show before, so could you please come back and talk to us about this awesome thing you got to do? So as far as news goes, I can't think of anything else really all that big, except for the, you know, I mean, that was the big thing, the trailer. It was amazing.
Right, that was it. Which everyone I know is, like, watching over and over again. I'm like, no, I saw it the one time, and then the extra scenes. I'm good to not see it again until I basically see the movie.
Like, I watched it three times. Like, I watched it once at midnight, then I watched it, like, three times in the morning. And then they're doing a really good job of making it the advertisement in front of things on YouTube. And so, like, I usually skip advertisements on YouTube. But I'm like, oh, this is Star Trek. I'm just going to watch this again and again because, oh, it's the, you know, the ad. And I was like, okay, I don't mind watching this ad because it's awesome.
No, that's a good ad to have to sit through.
Yes. Very excellent.
Sorry, I randomly think of things. It's like my brain just blows up every so often. So they were showing what, like a computer animation of all the different 50 aliens they came out with for this movie? Was that something you saw?
Yeah, during, I can't remember now if it was when we were in the small soundstage or the bigger soundstage, but at one moment, I believe Abrams had mentioned, as we were kind of seeing a montage of just a bunch of gorgeous different alien sculpts and everything behind the scene shots, that kind of like as, I don't know if it was like specifically as a thing for being 50 years, but they had specifically gone out of their way to make sure they had like at least 50 new aliens for this movie. Like more than they'd had with the other two movies combined.
That's cool. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing like all that stuff. Although I do hope they, you know, like bring back some classic aliens. Cause I mean like, and in the JJ movies so far, you've seen tons of aliens you've never seen before, but where are the Andorians? Where are the Tellarites?
Exactly.
You know, where are the Gorn? I mean, like, they mentioned the Gorn passing in the darkness, but, like, we've not seen, like, a lot of these classic races that I really would love to see.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of them brought back and just obviously cleaned up with a today look to them, in addition to, like, brand new aliens.
Well, I'd like to see more than one Klingon with his stupid helmet off. Don't like the Klingon helmets. I'm like, no, they've got bumpy heads. That they don't need helmets, right?
Right.
Tonight we're going to be talking about The Enemy Within, right, Victoria?
Yup. And stop changing my mind.
Not changing your mind. Sticking to it. So, Enemy of Then, the classic TOS episode. I believe this is episode 6? 6 or 7. It's really early on in the original series.
Yeah, especially given just the subject matter and everything.
Yeah, this is actually really, really dark for Star Trek
yes.
in general. No, this is episode 4. I apologize. It's episode 4. Really early on.
Yeah, that's like even more shocking. I don't know like what order they might have filmed it in, but to release it like so early on. Yeah, I've always been really impressed by that.
Yeah, so basically they're on some alien planet that's starting to get cold. And your random red shirt guy, engineer, damages his hand really, really bad by, like, rubbing it against the rock. I think something fell, but it looked like he was just, like, holding it up against the rock. And,
He's like, so I'll take my glove off, even though we haven't, you know, we're all wearing these contamination suits for a reason.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then Kirk... Then Kirk comes over, tries to examine, like, he's a doctor, and he's like, maybe you should go back to the ship, and then he doesn't call the ship himself, he lets the guy, like, try to open it with his broken hand.
Yeah, like whatever.
it's not important. You know, he makes it back to the Enterprise, Scotty has problems beaming him on, because of the contaminant that he's been exposed to. So,
right, mess with it. Because everything affects the transporter, that's a little concerning.
Yeah, you know, we got the biofilters in Next Generation until Shades of Grey, and then the biofilters decide not to work. But anyway, he gets taken back up to the ship after some complications with the transporter, and then Kirk gets beamed up, and he's kind of feeling a little bit woozy. So he stumbles off with, I think, Scotty. And then he's like, don't leave the transporter room by itself, Scotty. Scotty leaves it, and then like another Kirk beams on board. And waltzes off, looking very angry and very, very pink-lipped. Very pink, with a crazed look in his eye.
Oh, I don't remember the very pink lip.
Oh, it just looks so, like, it just, like, the close-up of his face when he beams in, he's, like, looking crazed and, like...
He's very made up.
I don't know if it's, like, the light or, like, they actually put pink lipstick on him, but, like, his lips are very, very pink when he's looking crazy there.
Hmm.
So he makes his way to sick bay. Gets a drink while the woozy Kirk is taking it easy in his quarters. He goes in, yells at Bones to give him some brandy. Then he makes his way to Janice Rand's quarters to wait for her to show up. Once she shows up, he's like drinking and talking at her and like, you know, we could do stuff together. Basically is what he's saying. And then before she says yes, he tries to force himself upon her.
Yes.
She sort of escapes, the door opens up, and she's like, get Spock! And then the guy starts running, and so Kirk has to chase after him. You know, evil Kirk. Spock deduces finally, once he goes back and forth between, you know, the Kirk's quarters and seeing Bones, that there must be an imposter on the ship.
He went back in.
And they figure out that the transporter has caused it, because they beamed up the cute dog that Sulu was holding, and it turned into a mean dog and a nice dog. Alien thing. Is a unicorn dog.
Unicorn dog. The Alpha 1 unicorn.
Yes. And so they decide they can't beam up the other crew, so Sulu is left with three of his buddies to huddle around and share bodily warmth until the Enterprise can beam them up at the end of the episode. But they wait till it's like 43 below zero before they decide to heat up rocks with a phaser. Janice Rand insists that she scratched Kirk, and Kirk goes and sees her. He's like, look, do I have any scratches on my face? I'm fine. I didn't. This wasn't me. But it was you, but it wasn't me. This is mistaken identity. The Kirk is losing his willpower. He goes up to the bridge, and he puts on the comlink that the imposter has scratches on his faces. Therefore, the imposter happens to wander upon a quarters, a perfect makeup that matches his skin complexion perfectly.
Yeah.
And covers his scars. He is eventually caught, brought into sickbay, and Kirk's like, I need you. We gotta be back together. Otherwise, we won't be able to, we'll both die for a part, because they decide that the transporter basically splits one man into two pieces, and, you know, if you're cut into two, you can't live without the other. Kirk tries to, speak with him, reason with the angry version of him, and he can't decide if he should risk his life to, you know, because they tried to beam the dogs back together by using the transporter, and the dogs died. So he's worried about dying himself, and he's losing the decisive part that makes him a good captain, because all that is in the rage monster that is his other ego. This, he doesn't want to relinquish command of the ship, but he goes back and forth between Spock and Bones, like, what do I do? And eventually he decides, we've got to do it, we've got to try. He lets the other guy go. He believes the other guy. He's like, I won't hurt you anymore, I'm tired of fighting. Yeah, don't believe that when, you know, your evil self is like, yeah, I'm tired. He told you that so you could get him right where you wanted. So he kind of incapacitates Kirk, goes to the bridge, and is like, hey, we're leaving. We're leaving those guys down the surface. There's no point in trying to beam them back. Kirk comes up and is like, no, you're the imposter. And then the poor crewman is like, Spock, which one's the real one? Anyway, they the rage monster comes out, and and Kirk embraces him. And they neck pinch him. The evil Kirk is neck pinched by Spock, brought to the transporter room, and they are finally beamed together, and Kirk is now whole. They beam up the Sulu and his three buds, who are now popsicles. Sulu and, I'm sorry, not Sulu. Bones is like, hey, they'll be okay. They just have a little bit of frostbite. Everyone laughs, and it cuts back to the bridge. And Yeoman is giving a report to Spock, and Spock's like, the other Kirk was really fascinating to you, wasn't he? Ouch, Spock. That was not, that was not cool, Spock. All is done, and the Enterprise flies off to more missions. Hopefully less dark missions.
Now, how long were they on that planet as it was that cold?
Like,
I think it's a couple of hours, but it's the fact that, like, when they got there, it was, like, close to nightfall, so it's just the temperature keeps dropping, and they're screwed.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, days. It was definitely hours.
Well, I don't know how I could get by hours at that temperature.
Yeah, just a little bit of frost.
I was like, really? Really? Well, it would be a little more, angry.
Well, they waited till 40 below before they decided to heat up rocks.
Yeah, the rocks.
And then their stuff started failing. I don't know if you guys have read the Memory Alpha on this, but this was, like, really fascinating. Like, William Shatner, when they filmed the rape scene with Janice Rand, like, later when they were talking about it, when he was, like, trying to confront her that, oh, look, it's me, you know? I'm not the bad guy here. That was the other guy. Like, she couldn't get back to that emotional state where she was frightened and, like, you know, worried about, you know, being raped. And so he slapped her. Bill Shatner slapped slapped her to get her back into character. Like, he hit the woman. And I was like, whoa! And then she also was very upset about the line Spock said to her at the end. She really didn't like that Spock, you know, anyone would say that, you know, human or Vulcan, but that kind of line about, oh, you thought he was interesting, didn't you, Yeoman? I'm like, that's really strange for Spock to say, and I kind of agree with her. That's kind of weird. But despite that, she said she really liked doing this episode. I'm like, you mentioned two really awful things that happened to you, and you really liked it? I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. So what did you think of this episode, Tanya?
I don't know. I guess I don't have a huge opinion. I just like watching them. Right now, I've only seen them all about one time. Well, not all. I'm still in the first season for TOS.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
it's just all really interesting to me. It's fun.
Yeah, because you've watched almost all of Next Gen, and you're kind of working your way back to TOS. How many TOS episodes have you seen? Just up to this point?
Oh gosh, no. Maybe I'm at 7 or 8, maybe 9.
Okay, so you're just working your way through. That's cool. So, what do you think of going back to the original series after you've seen, you know, the Next Gen?
Oh well, they're completely different, but I can see why some people are like, oh, you know, TOS is the best, I love it, and, you know, other people are like, oh, you know, Next Generation by far is better. I mean, they're just completely different things. I don't know. I'm a Next Generation fan, but that's because that's what I grew up on, and that might just be the thing with everyone. What you grew up on, your very first Star Trek love, is going to be the strongest. I'm not sure. I definitely enjoy. I enjoy the first one with Kirk and Spock. Like, I love watching it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the thing about the original series that none of the other series really get, as well as the TOS does, is the dynamic between Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. I mean, like, they're,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like, I mean, like, their dynamic makes the show so good. And even like, the episodes can be kind of weak sometimes in the original series, because sometimes, like, the stories are kind of weird. But,
sometimes the stories are weird. I think they're all super weird. At least the ones I've been watching. Okay, well, while we're waiting, the poster, I was looking through the event stuff. Did you see the poster?
That poster looks awesome. Both of them.
It looks so awesome.
I like the one that's reminiscent of the motion picture, and then the other one with, like, the action shot and the motorcycle.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I saw the ones that were, like, the old ones. I didn't know if they did that for the others or not.
No, I don't think so.
They didn't? Okay. No, I love that big time. I thought about buying some of those posters at the... Well, they were, you know, like 11 by 17 or whatever size little posters are. I was going to get some a couple weeks ago, but then I didn't, because it seems like I buy a lot of things to hang on the wall and then they never get hung up.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I'm terrible at buying frames. I'm awful. So what made this episode special to you, Victoria?
I just really like the unicorn dog, and it seemed a good excuse to talk about that dog.
So the unicorn dog made this a special...
Everyone always makes fun of the unicorn dog just because it's a dog in a fursuit, but I appreciate the effort that went into
that
dog in a fursuit.
It's just, where'd that dog come from? Was it indigenous to that planet? Did they just have it on board?
If aliens are going to look so much like us, then their pets could look so much like our pets, right? Just little differences.
Yes.
Yay!
Are we all here?
Yes, I think so.
Magic. The magic of internet. So go ahead and say what you were saying earlier, Victoria. Nintendo sounds.
Oh my gosh. No way. She comes so clear at the beginning.
It was crystal clear.
Oh, so crazy.
Welcome, Victoria.
What point did you lose, man?
All of it.
After your first Nintendo note.
All of it. Oh, our Nintendo. Those ones are the best, too.
Because, I mean, like, you're coming through fine now, but then, like, and you did, and then as soon as they asked the question.
Oh, Jesus, Bruno. Freaking ripped out the leg.
Improvise. Maybe it won't cut off if you just improvise.
Right? It's like, as soon as we try to get anywhere, it's like, aw, nope.
You liked the dog with the unicorn horn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just like that dog. Yeah, I mean, I know everyone thinks it's all, like, hokey because it's a dog and a little costume.
So the dog is your favorite part because he's in a costume. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, like, it is hokey, like, nowadays.
Right?
But everybody puts their dog in a costume nowadays. Come on.
Appreciate. I mean, well, maybe I'm used to it because of the dog in the monkey suit back then.
A dog in
maybe
a...
it worked better because that poor little dog was on a full...
So the dog was in a monkey suit?
Battlestar Galactica, you know, the original species name, but it was the dog, yeah. Well,
hey, Victoria.
Yeah, I got you.
Would you be able to record a different night? Like,
totally.
When is MegaCon over?
Yeah, you don't
over?
Mind that. MegaCon's not over until Sunday.
Okay. All right, so it's just starting then.
Yeah, we just got here to set up the booth, you know, the day before. It starts tomorrow.
Gotcha. Maybe when you get back home, we could talk again?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, excellent, because I might be able to salvage part of this episode and just kind of do, like, a little bit with Tanya, and then...
Okay.
And then just kind of put it together and mostly have you at the beginning. And then we can get you back on, and we can do... You can figure out that episode that you wanted to talk about, the one you said you wanted... The scene wasn't in either of one. And, just reach out to me. Let me know when you're back home and when you're available. We usually record on Wednesday nights, so maybe next Wednesday if you're good. Is that good?
Man, I have so many questions to ask her.
All right, that'll be fantastic. You'll be home on your own Wi-Fi. We can all talk, and it'll be good. Thank you so much for coming out and talking with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Fine. I'll be back.
I'm so sorry
home
about
everything.
Sorry about all the connection issues, but we'll talk soon, okay? Hope you have a great time at the con. I'm looking forward to seeing your pictures from the con.
I did not think this is going to be so crazy as it will.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's, you can't always rely on the signal. So I appreciate you trying and spending some time with us tonight. It was good getting to talk with you for a little bit. But I hope the con goes well, and I'm looking forward to seeing all the pictures you put up from the con. And you can throw them on our Synthaholics group if you feel like. We'll be happy to see them.
Sorry for all the trouble.
Oh, no. It's not your fault. I mean, nothing we can really control. So we'll get you back on soon and talk about the episode you want to talk about then.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Victoria. I hope you have a great night. Have fun at MegaCon. All right. So this is probably going to be a short episode. we had some issues with Victoria. Her internet connection was weak. She's at MegaCon. You may or may not have heard this in our discussion. I don't know if I've cut it out because this episode's getting a lot of editing. So if you've heard it already that we've talked about MegaCon, it's just... she's at MegaCon. She's on a cell phone, and was just having a really hard time connecting. And if she's at MegaCon, I'm sure there's like way too many people in the area, so cell phone signal goes really, really bad. I was in New Orleans for Mardi Gras once, and the influx of people just makes cell phone signals ridiculous. Like, it's just hard to connect to anything because there's too much signal all in one spot. Or too many people trying to use, you know, bandwidth all in the same spot. Enemy Within. This is really weird and really dark for really early on in TOS. And I just wanted to say, you know, thank you, Victoria, for showing up, even though your internet connection was not great tonight. But we'll have you on again soon. So everyone...
She was a trooper. She was trying really hard.
She was, but, you know, it's only so much, you know, we can do with the technology when it's not wanting to work. So, Enemy Within. How would you rate this so far in the TOS episodes you've seen already, Tanya?
Rate it? Geez, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Definitely fun.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, gosh. The one I watched last, or at least I've been thinking about lately.
Was that?
It's the one with the three sexy ladies who beam on board with the cowboy type guy.
Oh, Mudd's Women.
Yes.
I love Harry Mudd. He's such a fun like guy. Like I was really like, you know, there was a rumor he was going to be in Star Trek in the Darkness.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. And he and they said maybe he might be played by Jack Black. And I'm like, that would be so awesome.
Oh, my God. Jack, that would be incredible.
Jack Black could totally play that guy. Like, get that big handlebar mustache. And, like, I think Jack Black would have been amazing as Harry Mudd. But the only thing we got in Star Trek in the Darkness was a random quote about Mudd's ship. And it wasn't even Harry Mudd's ship, because if you read the Before Darkness comic, it was Harry Mudd's daughter, who apparently was half Bajoran because she's got the nose ridges, so I thought that was kind of strange. Yeah, Enemy Within. Like, really weird rape stuff with... I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It is the animal part of him. But for that to be on the 60s, I mean, like, that's kind of like... that's kind of like adultish material for nowadays. You don't, you know, see it, you know, very much unless it's like HBO or something. But, I mean, granted, it wasn't like...
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't super, like, you know, in your face, like... You know, nudity or extra violent, but it was fairly violent for you know he was forcing himself on that poor girl.
Yeah, no, it's evil, but I mean, hey, they were tackling issues, so that's cool that they did that.
And I thought it was interesting that so much of Kirk's command and being able to make snap decisions was bent up in that the dark or the ungood part of himself.
Yeah, definitely.
That, you know, what makes him so good at what he does is the dark part of him.
Gosh.
Yes. Yes, that's right, dog. Exactly. Are you wearing a unicorn hat? Oh, the dog.
Have a unicorn hat.
That dog was fun. But, like, what I was trying to say is, like, where's that dog come from? Was he indigenous to the surface? Maybe they should have skinned him and used his skin for, like, warmth if he was indigenous to the planet.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about how they had a dog there. that dropped down, they could have gathered a herd of them and then snuggled with them to keep warm.
Or just snuggle with them. Do the nonviolent way. You know, desperate
snuggling.
Snuggling. Okay, that works too. And instead of that one little like one ply sheet that they were huddled in.
Kind of special space blanket, though.
Yeah. It was definitely a space blanket, but it wasn't shiny and crunchy like tinfoil, like the tinfoil space blankets.
Yeah.
I guess they hadn't invented those yet.
I did used to have one. You said you had one, too?
No, I said I guess they hadn't invented that yet.
Oh, had no, they're way beyond that now. No, it doesn't have to be so shiny.
Reflective, it blinds. So, do you ever want to do a synopsis from the top of your head like I did, Tanya?
No, I wouldn't be able to. I don't know if there's anything, any show, no matter how many times I've seen it, which maybe I haven't actually seen many shows over and over. I've seen a few movies over and over. I'm trying to think if I could actually do a good job at doing that as you do. I always thought you were reading off of notes or something online. I cannot believe that. Not at all.
Well, I did look up to see what episode number it was because I said like it was 5 or 6 earlier. Then I was like, oh wait, no, it's 4. But then I did the synopsis off the top of my head, and it wasn't even the last episode I watched. I watched the naked time, and I was like, oh crap, I hope I'm not mixing these two up.
Okay, yeah.
Because the naked time is funny. Like, this is the way the guy, like, he's like, they're on that freezing planet that's already, it's another frozen planet. They're in their, like, spacesuits or whatever. And the guy takes off his glove and he holds it up to that frozen, like, super cold frozen thing for, like, 20 seconds. And that stuff gets on.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about it being so cold. About him taking it off and rubbing his nose and, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
obviously something happened there. Let's just rub it on my nose.
Well, I mean, if it was frozen cold, like wouldn't it be like, shouldn't that suit have been like an enclosed suit? Like, I mean, I know that they were limited by their budget, but they could have pretended it was an enclosed suit. I don't know what that just like veil over your face is going to do to protect you from the cold.
Yeah.
But if it was like, you know, 20 below, like if you put your hand on that for 20 seconds, you'd have frostbite. You would have like reached your hand back because that's really cold to touch. But no, he just kept his hand there for a good long time. Let that stuff get all over it.
Think about that at all. I'll never be able to do a synopsis. Jeez.
You don't have to. That's why you've got me and Guy and Aaron. We try to do the synopsis so you can just enjoy the conversation that comes from a Star Trek.
I like it.
Well, you said the Mud's Omen was the last one you've seen of TOS, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I rewatched. Okay, so I watched. Which one did I watch? Did I watch
Naked Time
or The Enemy Within? I watched. Okay.
I think you watched
the Orange
Naked Time.
Hazmat suit,
scratching the nose. Yeah,
that's the one I watched.
The Sulu running shirtless off. I read the Memory Office for both of those today. He really enjoyed. Sulu said he really enjoyed doing that episode, but I also read he did like nothing but push-ups for the 3 days before they shot it to make his upper body look better. And I'm like,
really?
Why would you have thought that?
That wouldn't really even do anything, would it?
If he did nothing but push-ups for 3 days straight, I mean, I'm sure.
If you did nothing but push-ups for like an hour one day, you wouldn't even be able to move for a week.
I don't know. Like,
you can't do it for 3 days straight.
The Memory Alpha said he did a lot of push-ups for the 3 days before the shoot when they told him he was going to go short. He was going to go shirtless. Mm. I'm sure he was like fit, you know, fairly fit anyway. But he said he wanted to build up his chest muscles a little bit more for the way he looked in A Naked Time. But I'm like, if I was doing like nothing but push-ups because I had to be forced to go shirtless, you know, for an episode, I would say this is my least favorite episode because I had to do push-ups for 3 days straight. and then he had to hold up his hand and do the fencing stuff, which he apparently took very seriously.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I when I was first, there is a, I guess it's like a, it's not a local radio station. It's, you know, the public radio station, the big NPR type affiliate.
Yeah.
I was bugging one of their, I guess, sound guys for quite a while because I found out he was a Trek fan. So he actually told me he got a chance to talk to him when he, well, he asked him about that scene, the fencing shirtless, mm-hmm. and asked him if they sprayed him with, you know, some kind of baby oil or water or whatever it was to get him all gleaming, glistening. And he, of course, was like, oh, no, that was just me. So,
well, I mean,
I
like,
keep that whenever I see that scene,
it's just me. Well, like, you know, they've got these are the Voyages books for Star Trek, the original series, and those sets were very hot, very, very hot.
Oh yeah,
and the
I
lighting,
I thought about that.
And the lighting was very hot, and I don't think the air conditioner worked most of the time. And I think like if they, you know, flush the toilet, like lights would go out, and like it's a miracle that TOS ever got made with all the production issues that they had.
Oh,
like
my.
Reading these books, it can be kind of dry sometimes. At the same time, it's really fascinating because there's just like so much stuff. I'm like, really, how did this even happen? Like it's amazing that the show even got made with all the stuff. I mean Lucille Ball, she got a broom out and helped clean up the set because she needed to get the show going because she fought for them to get a, you know, second pilot after The Cage didn't, you know, wasn't well received.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
It's so awesome that she was so instrumental in getting Star Trek off the ground. And I know you'll probably forget this by the time you get to Enterprise, because I know you're still working through it, Tanya, but in Enterprise, there's an episode called Carbon Creek where some Vulcans crash land on Earth. And we actually did an episode on this a while back, so you might have heard it. I don't know. But they're stuck in, like, the 60s or the 50s or whatever. Like, they watch one of the guys, like, loves watching television, one of the Vulcans. And he's like, oh, I'll be back later because I Love Lucy is on. So it was kind of like their tribute. This is like their tribute to Lucille Ball, like referencing I Love Lucy since she was the one who was so instrumental on getting Star Trek off the ground and, you know, a thing. And Desilu awesome. Studios, you know, they put it on, so that's pretty awesome.
That's great. I'm excited to see that then. I'm excited to see all of them.
All of them. That's what I love, that you're so excited about Star Trek and always love to check them out. So how have you gotten, how close are you to the end of Next Gen?
Oh, not close at all. Now that I have to be a person and work again, jeez.
I swear.
I don't think I got very far. I can't remember what I saw last, of course.
What about
my memory is awesome like that.
What about DS9? Did you get to see Move Along Home? Because we talked about that on the Worst of the Worst episode.
No, I haven't seen that one yet. I bet it's coming up.
It's
I
like,
know I've watched at least one more.
It's only like two or three after the last one you'd seen, so it's
okay, so maybe it's next.
Yeah, it's pretty early. Yeah. You get to see, and then
I think I watched two episodes of Deep Space Nine recently in a row. And Rob yelled at me because then it was super late. Like, we have to budget our watching time. This is getting really late. So it's hard for me to watch something. The man's just not helping me out here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
I don't get to watch as much Star Trek as I used to do, because now most of my Star Trek I watch is homework for the show.
But what would you be watching if you weren't doing homework for the show? Like, would you just start a new series and go in order, or would you be skipping around like you do now?
Well, before I started Synthaholics, I was almost done rewatching Voyager and DS9 for like the third or fourth time completely through.
Oh, wow.
And basically, I would watch Voyager and then I'd reward myself with watching Deep Space Nine because I'm not a huge Voyager fan.
Oh,
so like I'd watch a little Voyager and then I'd watch Deep Space Nine. I'd watch a little Voyager and I'd watch Deep Space Nine because that was my reward to getting through Voyager again. So that's what I was doing before I started Synthaholics. And that's pretty, I mean, you know, so if I wasn't doing the show, I'd probably like, I watch the series in order, or, you know, I watch the season, you know, the shows all the way through, like, especially with Voyager, I have to balance Voyager with something else just to be able to like get through it. It's the only way I can do it. And then, I did get the first three seasons of Next Gen on Blu-ray. So I have like been watching those off and on. But I still need to get the last four seasons on Blu-ray because, oh, it's so good on Blu-ray. Guys, I know Netflix is super convenient, but if you've got a high-definition television and a Blu-ray player, the Star Trek Next Gen Blu-rays are absolutely amazing. It's night and day watching it between that and Netflix.
I thought they were better on Netflix. Not better than, you know, the best of the best, but I thought they just had the remastered or whatever you fancy techie people call it.
I don't know.
Because I think what I've been watching is pretty good. I thought.
I mean, they may have, but I mean, still, there's still the difference between streaming something, which, you know, if your internet connection's going in and out, it'll downgrade, you know, the quality
like
of the
mine,
signal.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You know. Whereas, you know, if you're watching the Blu-ray, you're getting full, you know, 60 frames a second or 30 frames a second, whatever television is, you know, at 1080p. You're getting the full range, perfect the entire time, no dips. Only problem is you have to get up and change the disc.
That's true.
Curse your discs! No, but there's so much good stuff on the discs, too. I mean, you've got the extended version of Measure of a Man on the season 2, I think. You've got, and just all the different behind-the-scenes stuff in general, the interviews with the actors, Gene Roddenberry, all the stuff, like, that's, you know, all the extras.
Oh, nice.
Some of the stuff's really fascinating to go through and watch. So, I mean, yeah, you can watch the episodes on Netflix, but you get so much more with the Blu-rays. So.
Yeah.
CBS does not pay me to say this, but, yeah, it's definitely good stuff. Well, do you have any closing thoughts on The Enemy Within, Tanya?
Which one?
The one I did
Cold
the synopsis
Planet
on.
Dog one or...
The Cold Planet Dog, the yeoman getting attacked by the evil captain.
No, I don't.
No, I am done. I've said I will say
I know
ever.
I'm gonna use it with the one that I accidentally watched. So no, I'm done.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Yes. I thought you were thanking the audience. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, audience, thank you also for listening. You can find all our music is put out by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. Me at David_J_Duncan. Guy at GS Davis Art, I think. I'm sorry, Guy. I don't have that memorized yet. Faith at Faith Hertzberg, Aaron at Blackbird 2004. You can go to our website, Syntholics.com. And if you want to email us, because we love reading your fan emails and any critiques or any observations you have about our episodes, we love reading those. So you can email us at Syntholics@yahoo.com. We also have our Facebook.
I sound like Nintendo.
I sound like Nintendo now?
No, that would be their reviews.
Oh, yes. Yeah, speaking of reviews, you can go on iTunes and leave us stars and ratings, and you can tell us about how badly, like, Nintendo we sound. And it's not, we're not even trying to do copyright infringement there. That's totally on accident. Anyway, we're also on Google Play Music and Stitcher, so if you have any of those, you can go ahead and follow us. And where can we find you, Tanya?
You can find me on Facebook at TAWNYA, last name HOLLY, or check out my Facebook group, Star Trek Iowa.
Yes, indeed. It's always fun around there. And I'm also an admin on Star Trek Iowa. So if you like the way I admin and like the silly things I post on Synthaholics, you'll probably see more of that on Star Trek Iowa, along with the podcast, because that's what we do. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper. In the sinking, we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Anything on the booth that you would want to snack on? Fruit snack?
Hello.
Hey.
Ooh, fruit snack.
Are you guys still here?
Yep.
Sweet.
I listened to your synopsis. It's awesome.
I'm trying to go through it. Anyway, the Kirk is losing his willpower. He goes up to the bridge, and he puts on the comlink that the imposter has scratches on his faces. Therefore...
And oh, guess what? So totally, I rewatched the wrong episode.
Oh, yeah?
So when you were reading through that, I was like, oh, God, I can't recall it fast enough in my mind. Oh,
I wasn't reading. I was doing it off the top of my head.
No, what?
Yeah.
You did that off the top of your head?
Yeah. That's why I had so many long, awkward pauses, that and waiting for noises to stop.
Yeah, I figured it was because I couldn't think of anything to say, and she was mostly scrambled.
Oh, no, it was just...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No, I rewatched whatever she said the first time. I wrote it down wrong, and I thought I have so many little scribbles on the paper I wrote down what I was supposed to do on.
Oh, it's okay.
So I watched The Naked Time?
Yeah. But yeah, I pretty much did everything off the top of my head, Tanya.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe that. I thought you usually read off one of the I don't know, the pages that list everything going on. I always take notes, and
Aaron used to, and Guy does, but I do it all off the top of my head. I'm too lazy to write stuff down.
Oh my God.
Oh, Victoria, you've left us again.
Oh my.
Oh my, she's leaving us again. This is how podcasts roll.
That's crazy. Let's talk right. Has this happened before with any other guests? There we go. That's a sentence. I'm just sitting around wearing no pants. No, I've got some pants and I got some shorts on. We're okay, guys. Don't worry.
I'm not wearing pants. I am wearing underwear, but I put on a shirt. It's like, you can't tell that I'm not wearing pants.
I finally put on a Star Trek shirt for today. And then I keep forgetting to push my camera button. Here I go. Hold on.
I didn't stand up.